And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Hey, what's up? What's the good word? How are you? Happy Monday. It's a very, very happy Monday around these parts on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at HubCityRadio.com. We're live streaming with the video as well in studio at Facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. Good to be with you on this Monday installment of the show. A lot to get to today on FSA as we will look at our brackets from this last weekend. We'll get to the jump, which is jam-packed, and we've got our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union Tournament scoreboard to unpack as well. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the man that we call the Cobra. He is Matt McClure. Good morning, sir. How is your Monday going so far?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Can't complain. Had a great weekend.
Got the haircut done there a little bit too, yes? No?
No. No haircut for me today.
You've got the David Tewksbury haircut going on there a little bit. You got the style.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, it was a very, very busy weekend for sure. We did 12 games in 3 days. Had a bit of a rest day there yesterday, kind of, sort of. Not really. My daughter woke up at 4 a.m., like I told you there, off the air. And it was just like coming down from a high on Saturday night, I tried to stay up as late as I possibly could because I knew that if I tried to go to sleep, wasn't going to happen. So I stayed up late till about 11:30, got home about 10:15, 10:30 or so. And for my bachelor party back in 2020, my buddy got me this great bottle of Johnny Walker Blue Label. It's really, really pricey, so I only drink it in very, very special occasions. I was like, 12 games in 3 days? That is happening.
Yeah.
So I poured myself a little glass, neat. Oh, it was delicious. I sipped on that for about 35, 45 minutes. And then my head hits the pillow. I was out like a light switch. And then all of a sudden, 4 a.m. rolls around. My daughter's like, all right, let's go attack the day. And I was just like, oh,
no.
Why? Why are you up right now?
Yeah.
But, you know, 9-month-old kids do those sorts of things.
Yeah, no, I was the same way, too. Because after that game, I couldn't go to bed right away. I was jacked up. It took a while for me to kind of settle down after that. I watched the shot probably about 5 to 10 times over the course of the last 2 days. It's just an incredible play. But I'm with you. 12 games in 3 days. It was a marathon, that's for sure.
It absolutely was a marathon, but we finished the race. We did. We crossed the checkered flag there, and it wasn't exactly the best time, but you know what? We finished. We absolutely finished, and we had an absolute blast with it as well on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And I tell you what, it was fun being on location too, wasn't it?
Yeah, for the Sports Hub, that was a lot of fun doing something a little bit different there, and we're able to have a couple great guests as well. Ryan Deal joined us, so Brad DeBeer, and those guys were some great guests, and having them live on location, it felt a little bit different being live and doing that show from, you know, the B. And it was kind of the calm before the storm. It was great. I really enjoyed that last week.
Just to be clear, friends, we are live now, but we were on location over there.
Yes.
And we're still live here. We're on location just in our studio, which is nice. We love our studio, and it's a lot of fun. But, you know, being back there at the Barnett Center for that, essentially, for all intents and purposes, hour-long pregame show before everything starts, to be honest. That's kind of the way I looked at it, you know?
Yeah, it really was. It was another hour of pregame coverage, and it was kind of cool seeing where everybody, you know, some of the other media's heads were at. Hey, who do you like here? What team do you think could be a sleeper team? Who do you think could win this? And it was cool just picking others' brains about that. And I really enjoyed those two shows last week.
Well, looking forward to a full week ahead of us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We've got a Wings Weekly coming up tomorrow on the show. Looking forward to that. And going to reach out to some coaches, to be sure, coming up this week. Victorious coaches. And one of them that we left leaving the Barnett Center there on Saturday night, just kind of congratulating Coach Kepsel there for Howard. And we said, you know, thanks for taking some time and visiting with our very own Ryan Martin and having some of those pre- and post-game chats. And he goes, oh, you know, it was a lot of fun and absolutely no problem. But coming here to the Mecca, that's the word that he used. He said, you know, coming to the Mecca of basketball here in South Dakota. And he said, just get ready to see us again. And I loved that swagger to say, hey, this was a great moment. We won the whole thing. But you know what? We're not done yet. I love that.
Yeah, that was really cool when he said that. He said, hey, you know, get used to this, essentially. And that was, I like the confidence. I like the swag he has with his team. And it showed really, he did a great job all tournament long, Coach Capsule, and he was able, the players believed in to what he was, what the system was, and they had to make a couple adjustments in each game, and they were able to do that out of the halftime. And congratulations to that Howard team. It was a full team effort in each one of their games. I feel like it was slow. It was more of a slow pace type of game for them, but they were able to execute at the highest level in the biggest situations, and that was really cool to see.
We'll unpack the State B tournament in its entirety coming up here in just a bit with our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard. Looking forward to that. But just as an aside there, that championship game, and we might talk about this even more so, the coaching, I thought both ways, was absolutely phenomenal. Head coach Jeff Gruenhagen, when he zigged, Coach Kepsel zagged. And then when Coach Kepsel zigged, felt like Coach Gruenhagen zagged. And, you know, in the post-game show, Coach Gruenhagen kind of pointed his thumb to himself and said, you know, that's on me. I wish I would have changed this, that, and the third. And, you know, we both kind of looked at each other like, yeah, we don't take it that way. You know, Howard just made a couple great plays, and good on them for sure. But I thought both head coaches there on Saturday night were just incredible.
Yeah, they really were. And you, like you mentioned, Coach Gruenhagen, he was pointing the finger at himself because he thought he should have called a timeout there at the end of the game, or he was trying to and the ref didn't hear it. And then they turned the ball over there. But I'm with you. Every time adjustments needed to be made, they made them. You saw DeSmet go to that 2-3 zone. It kind of caught Howard off guard to start, and then Howard started to make some shots. And Coach Gruenhagen was like, all right, well, we're going back to man defense. And it worked out pretty well for them. They found themselves back in the game. And when DeSmet took out Colt and Luke Kepsel, other guys stepped up for mm-hmm. Howard. You know, Logan Mental, Colby Clawson, those kinds of guys. Just all-around great coaching performance by both Coach Gruenhagen and Coach Kepsel.
Yeah, that game absolutely had a little bit of everything, and it was those two words, instant classic, for sure. And it was a lot of fun being on the broadcast right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. All right, let's go ahead and get to the jump here in just 1 second with the man that we like to call
Mr. Unlimited.
And Mr. Unlimited has some company now in Pittsburgh. It's going to be Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Both of those guys are going to be competing for that starting quarterback position, I would imagine, and both of them are being paid pennies on the dollar. It's pretty wild, huh?
Yeah, I think that one surprised me a little bit with Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh, because the Steelers gave up a 6th-round pick for him. I mean, they gave up literally nothing for him. And I think now that's pretty good. If you're the Steelers, you got two guys with something to prove a little bit. And I'm looking forward to see how that all, you know, comes about in the summer. Do they go with Wilson to start? I believe that's what their plans are, mm-hmm. that Wilson's going to start. But I wouldn't be surprised if Fields played it. This season is all at all for them.
Yeah, sounds like the trade market for him was really, really small. It's like they got, what, a 6th-round pick, and it was like a 5th and 6th, or just 6th, or something like that.
I think
that.
If he plays a certain amount of games, it's up to a 4th.
Okay.
So, I mean, I that shocked me as well. Like, they kind of just settled. The Bears were like, all right, like, we're not getting any calls. We're just going to settle, and that shows me that the Bears are probably going to go with Caleb Williams then. Right?
I would think so. I would be shocked if they didn't, especially with that kind of tipping your hand, so to speak, with your trade selection there. But I'm with you. I would be shocked if they go with somebody else. But then again, you just never know with the Chicago Bears. And we don't mean to be, you know, just taking pot shots at the Chicago Bears, although we do quite a bit on the Sports Hub. It's a pretty good running bit that we've got going on. But heck, the Seahawks traded Rick Meyer to the Bears for a 1st-round pick back in the 90s. And the Bears were like, yeah, that sounds good. Let's sign up for that. And turned out to work out for the Seahawks there back in the day. But, yeah, I'll be very, very curious to see what they do and just the draft as a whole. And as soon as player A gets on the stage to shake Roger Goodell's hand, people will already be labeling him a bust or a reach or whatever.
Plus, the Bears also got Keenan Allen and DeAndre Swift at free agency. So things are trending in the right direction. They just got to get this quarterback thing right. Hopefully they do.
They haven't got the quarterback thing right in about 50 years.
You're right. It's been a long, long time.
They've literally never had a quarterback pass for over 4,000 yards.
Wow.
Think about that for a second. In this era, in this 2024 era of everybody who's worth their salt throws for over 4,000 yards, the Bears have literally never had one quarterback in their franchise's history to do it.
Yeah, they're known for defense, though. They got great defenses, but when you talk about the quarterback position, they just can't seem to get it right. It's, I think this year could be different. I believe Williams is going to be pretty good wherever he goes.
All right. Time will tell on that for sure. That's the NFL. Looking forward to that. But also, hey, baby, it's mid-March. This is March Madness time. I'm excited about it. I think you're excited about it. I just printed my bracket here this morning. And this may be a hot take. I texted my buddies about this. But the whole first four games, it's not a part of March Madness. Stop calling it part of March Madness. It's not the first four. It's not the first round of the tournament. It's just these four random games. I'm not even filling out my bracket until those four games are done.
Yeah, so I'm the same way. I don't even fill out my bracket until the quote-unquote play-in games, because that's what essentially right. What they are. I mean, I understand what they're trying to do, and I get it, but I'm with you. I don't fill my bracket out until those games are officially done and over with and see what happens after that. But those are essentially play-in games for March Madness, in my opinion.
I am totally right there with you. Also, I saw John Fanta, however you weigh.
Yeah, I've seen him on Twitter.
Yeah, for sure. And makes a really good soda, by the way. But he said this. He tweeted this out yesterday, last night. Quote, "Let me be clear. It's an absolute travesty that the transfer portal in college basketball opens on Monday. It takes away from literally the best week of the year in the sport. At least give it a week and let the tournament have our undivided attention. The portal is toxic. Enough." Close quote. Can you imagine the transfer portal opening the week March Madness begins? My question is a simple one. Why?
Yeah, what's the deal with that? That makes no sense whatsoever. You got the biggest week of college basketball, and you're worried about the transfer portal? Really? I mean, what are we doing here? That doesn't make much sense to me at all. You got to understand that this is when you're talking to college basketball people, this is all they care about: March Madness. This mm-hmm. first week with all the games, you got games going on from 11 a.m. to midnight, and you want to talk about the transfer portal? I agree with Fanta on that.
100%. My question would also be, why can't you wait another couple of weeks? Because these athletes, these student-athletes that want to find a new home for one reason or another, they'll probably find one. Not all of them. There's a lot of people that go into the portal and they just never come out. And my question would be, can't you just wait another couple of weeks?
Yeah.
Because these coaches, I guarantee you, are probably focusing on the game.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. You're focusing on the game, and they're not focused on next year quite yet.
Yeah.
So you're not finding a home quite yet. So I'm with you. You got to wait a couple weeks. Even if like 2-3 weeks. Monday, really? That makes no sense.
The day after Selection Sunday, pretty wild. And also, I think you and I would be in agreement here. One of our favorite broadcasters is Kevin Harlan. He is phenomenal, and he does so well at absolutely everything that he puts his mind to. Doesn't matter if he's calling a game on the radio or calling a game on TV. Football, basketball, doesn't matter. He is one of the best. And yesterday, or I think it was actually on, maybe it was either Saturday or Sunday, I'm not quite sure, VCU was playing Duquesne in the A-10 championship game. And with 2 minutes gone by in the second half, Duquesne's up by 10, 38-23. Check that, they're up by 15. Pardon me, I thought that was a zero. I thought that was an 8. Anyway, they're up by 15 points. They're up double digits. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the game, confetti starts falling from the rafters. Pretty wild. And Kevin Harlan, of course, in only Kevin Harlan way, captures the moment.
My goodness. Oh, my gosh. They got confetti falling right now. Confetti is falling on the floor. They're going to have to stop playing. We can't see our notes. The players can't work on this court. Confetti is everywhere. Somebody hit the wrong button.
Well, Kevin, to be honest with you, there's not a lot of this confetti that made it on the court. Most of it fell on us. But I think they were just trying to honor you, Kevin. You deserve confetti everywhere you go.
Yeah, right.
I just love Kevin Harlan. He's just the absolute best. But, you know, it's kind of similar because in the State B tournament there on that final play, we were like, somebody must have pressed the red button of, you know, hitting that sign or hitting the buzzer. And Kevin Harlan's like, someone hit the wrong button. Have you ever seen that happen before in the middle of a game?
No.
The confetti starts falling down.
I thought Duquesne was going to be in trouble after that because they were winning. Could you imagine the jinx that would have went with that?
Oh, man. Bartman would have been off the hook for the most all-time crazy jinxes.
Yeah, really. That would have been Kevin Harlan's the best. Just that absolute best.
It's like Kevin Harlan and then the rest.
Yes.
As broadcasters, for sure. He is definitely the standard. I mean, there's a lot of great ones out there, but he is definitely at the very, very top of that list. It all depends on who you ask, but, you know, it's a very subjective thing, but we are definitely big Kevin Harlan fans over here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Coming up next on the show, we will unpack the B in its entirety, taking a look at our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union scoreboard, plus a former Aberdeen Ron Colley boys head coach is now a state champ. We'll talk about that, and also take a peek at the AA side of things as well. And on the NAIA and NCAA D2 side, we have seen a lot of movement there as well, down to the Sweet 16 or the Round of 16. I think they don't want to get sued, so I think that's how they word that, but we'll take a look at that. Northern State Baseball was also in the mix this last weekend, taking 3 of 4 from Winona. Northern State Wrestling, Northern Outdoor Track and Field, Softball, and of course, Matt McClure's biggest fan of any team, your Minnesota Timberwolves. Those Timbies, right?
Yeah, the Timbies. They've been struggling a little bit, too, because I got to say, since the cat injury, they've been up and down a little bit. I'm worried about them a little bit here.
Worried about those Timbies. We'll talk about all of that and much more coming up next on this Monday installment of The Hub.
There's a lot to celebrate this March. Spring is here, birds are singing, and...
Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Yes, indeed, we both still have a voice from this last weekend. You sound a little, not quite raspy, but you're not quite as Cobra-ish.
No.
You lost your venom.
No, I lost my voice a little bit. I'm all right, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I lost it a little bit. I was feeling pretty good, and then, you know, we're working towards getting back to 100%.
Yeah. I mean, we literally went from 150 miles per hour, go, 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 to kind of back to neutral now, as that's the end of the sports broadcasting season from the on-site play-by-play perspective.
Yeah, and talk about going out with a bang in 2023. 12 games in 4 days.
3 days.
Or 3 days. Just about,
felt like four.
Yeah, felt like four, but just talk about going out with a lot of fun, and that was a great 3 days at the B, and the atmosphere was incredible.
You know, it's interesting going back on social media and seeing people talk about it, and we can leave some of those conversations on social media, but I will mention one thing, and I mention this every year about the State B tournament. I enjoy the fact that you've got 3 days of basketball for all eight teams. It's not like you just show up to the B. Yeah, you lose the first round. Nah, your day's done. Your night's done. Your season's done. I appreciate the fact that these student-athletes have the opportunities to compete on Friday afternoon, Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and Saturday night. Because where I come from in Illinois, if you make it to the state tournament, you're one and done. That's it. It's like you travel to, well, when I went to high school, I think they used to do it at Bradley University. It's like, okay, you made this great trip. Everyone's showing up. Everyone's so juiced up. And then, boom, it's gone. You're done. You don't have 3 days of fun and excitement. I enjoy the fact that you have these seventh and eighth place games, these consolation championship games. Some people in the media might not like that. Well, too bad. So sad. It's all about the student athletes at the end of the day. And I've thoroughly enjoyed watching every single game and mentioning those seniors going out on a high note, or even sometimes on a low note with a loss there as well in some of those late games. I think it's a fantastic thing, and I love that.
Well, same with, you know, where I'm from in Pennsylvania. You go to a state champ, you go to the state tournament, it's one and done.
Yeah.
So it is really cool that you're able to rebound, and you get a minimum. You play three games. So if you struggle in the first game, you can bounce back in the second. And it's an opportunity to finish your season strong. And like you said, even though a team might lose all three times, you know, it's still an opportunity to prove what you've been able to do, like that Loyola Frederick team. I mean, we talked about it on the air over the weekend. We were really impressed with what they did, and they were one of the teams that lost three straight.
Yeah, they went 0-3, and we might have been more impressed by them than some other teams that might have gone 2-1 or 1-2 or something like that. I thought they had a phenomenal run, even though going 0-3, they were so much fun to watch. They fell in the 7th and 8th place game to Viborg-Hurley, 84-75. Brady Schrodermeyer had a game-high 25. Nick Hansen with 19 points and 11 rebounds. Bryson Morrison had a really nice game, 12 points and 5 boards, along with 4 assists. Braden Sumption really turned it on in the second half. He had 19. Noah Kipley had 15. But that Titans team, very, very under the radar all season. Again, not under our radar. We were talking about them months ago. But they had a nice run, even though they went 0-3.
Yeah, and I don't think there were a lot of teams ready for that full-court press from what we heard in some of those interviews.
Yeah.
You know, they were talking a lot about, hey, you know, we haven't really faced a team like this that plays 94 feet of defense, and they do it from the opening whistle to the end. And that's why that team, I believe, is so, you know, well coached with Brock Passion, and they got the players and the personnel to do it. They go about 9-10 deep, and you mentioned it with Braden Sumption. He had a great tournament. He just in the first half, he was slowed down a little bit, but he caught fire in the second half there, and they just came up a little bit short. But Loyola Frederick really did a good job on the defensive end, and I believe that's why they were in every single game in this tournament.
Most amount of points in any game was scored by Viborg Hurley. They're 84. They shot around, what was it, around 70%, if memory serves correctly?
Yep.
So if they could get past that press, they were more often than not scoring. And, you know, Sumption had kind of a tough technical foul there a little bit, but I loved the way he played with so much swag, didn't you?
Yeah, he would make a shot and then get right in the grill of the guy he was defending. He'd say a little something, too. Mm-hmm. The one time he got the tee, he was a little bit more animate,
yeah.
And that's why I think he got the tee. But he would make a shot, go and guard his guy, and just whisper something. And it was he played with a lot of swag, and you could tell the team looked up to him and said, hey, this is one of our leaders on our team. And he really proved why he can just pull up from the parking lot from three, man. He's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I think one time I actually overheard him saying, yeah, I saw that D+ that you got on that social studies test. And he's like, no, technical foul. It's like, what? What did I say? You were talking about a grade he had on a test. I don't know. But he was great, and that Titans team, a lot of fun to cover. Consolation championship, that would go to Wessington Springs, as the Spartans really dominated the game for about 24 minutes, and then the fourth quarter arose, and Gregory, they woke up. This was a lot of fun. 55-51 as Wessington Springs picked up the victory. Parker Graff had 17. Colby Flowers had 14. Blake Larson with 11. Daniel Mitchell, for my money, might have been one of the more fun guys that we watched this last weekend, and all these student-athletes are an absolute bomb to cover. But Daniel Mitchell was a blast, and he was so bouncy, so lanky, and just a really good player, and we had a lot of fun covering him, didn't we?
Yeah, and I really enjoyed watching that Gregory Gorillas team play. That was one of the unknown teams.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we didn't know a lot about coming in, and they just play hard. Till the final whistle, they were down big in this game versus Wessington Springs. And Wessington Springs, even though they lost their first game, they really came out the next two games with the game plan, executed it really well. Parker Graff was really the X factor in those last two games. He struggled in the first game, then he came out in the second game, settled down a little bit. You know, the bright lights weren't as big, obviously being in the afternoon session on day two. And he really stepped up in a big way for Wessington Springs. But this Gregory team, like you mentioned with Daniel Mitchell, I mean, that guy was awesome. I wish he was able to play all three games without having those cramps. It seemed like he was struggling with fatigue as the tournament went along. But he really put on a show in that fourth quarter to give Gregory a chance.
And at the end of the day, Wessington Springs, they fell to the eventual state champs in Howard there, and they gave them a pretty decent run there on Thursday afternoon. So Parker Graff, for my money, when he is at his best, it's when he is catching and shooting. That was one of my keys to the game there, brought to you by the Aberdeen Chrysler Center, was catch and shoot. And it felt like more often than not, he makes the catch, his feet are set, it's good night, nurse.
Yeah, and that was what the big difference was in those last two games. He was doing it off the catch and shoot. Against Howard, he was trying to create a lot of contested shots over defenders. He struggled, but you saw they were trying to get him on off-ball action, off the screens, and he was able to knock down some shots from the perimeter. And he's a really, really smooth player. You know, he's only a sophomore,
yeah.
So you got to think the next couple of years he's going to put on a little bit of size, he's going to get more comfortable. And I'll tell you what, he's a sharpshooter, and he can create on offense. And I think watch out for him moving forward.
Good day for the lefties, huh? Parker Graff and Braden Sumption. Both of those guys, left-handed shooters. There's something cool. There's something just aesthetically pleasing about left-handed shooters. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's unique. It's cool looking. And I'll tell you what, Graff and Sumption were two of the best guards in this tournament.
I would agree 100%. Third and fourth place matchup would go to Castlewood downing White River 74-54. This was really the only quote-unquote blowout of the tournament. And even still, White River was kind of right there neck and neck, and then they just had kind of a bad stretch, and then Castlewood kind of late in this ballgame really kind of created some separation. But Brian Lowy had a great game, 20 points and 12 rebounds. Jameson Kessler had 18 points and 7 helpers, 7 assists. Lane Tweet had 17 points, far and away his best game of the tournament. White River was led by Nicholas Marshall. The most points put up in any game in this last weekend was 31 points there, right there from Nicholas Marshall. Also had 5 boards. Jordan Euler had 12 there as well in the loss for White River. But kind of felt like to me, and I mentioned this during the broadcast, that Castlewood and head coach Paul Roche, they basically had the concerted effort to say, all right, Nicholas Marshall, he's going to get his. He's going to put up some points. But we just need to shut down absolutely everybody else, and they did that.
Yeah, they certainly did do that, and they got good contributions from their big players on offense. You mentioned that it was Lane Tweet's best performance. He struggled the first two games, and he came out with aggressive, driving to the basket, shooting threes. He finished with 17 points, but really the bottom line is White River had zero answer for Brian Lowy. 20 points, 12 rebounds, 8 blocks as well. I mean, the guy was just all over the place on both ends of the floor. White River could not guard him, and Castlewood, after losing a disappointing game, you might say, against DeSmet in the round prior, they come out, played loose, and you could just sense that from their team.
I thought so too, and I thought Tweet was kind of that X factor, and that was one of my keys to the game was, if he starts out hot, then baby, let it ride. But if you start off slow like he did against DeSmet there, he needs to call an audible and, you know, switch up to his slider or something like that. And his fastball was clicking there. So good on him. And he's a great player. Had himself a great game there on that third and fourth place matchup. Then the State B Championship, an absolute instant classic as Howard would defeat DeSmet 60-55, your final score there in overtime. Caden Fast with 18 points. Britt Carlson had 11 there in the loss. Trace Van Regenmorter had a nice game there as well. He had 11 points for the Bulldogs in the shortcoming. Colt Kepsel, though, probably, though, the MVP. 24 points and 13 rebounds. Crucial from the free throw line. Get yourself a big man that can shoot free throws. He was 9-for-9. Luke Kepsel had 16. Colby Clausen had 8. That game had absolutely everything. And Howard, they unseat DeSmet as the State B champs.
Yeah, one, you mentioned it too. It's just an instant classic type of game, and DeSmet, they got up about 5 points, and you felt like, hey, this is their time now to kind of go on the gas pedal a little bit and try to extend that lead. But Howard didn't go away, and that was the big thing that I saw. Howard just remained poised. And you mentioned it, Colt Kepsel was the MVP, 24 points and 13 rebounds. I thought the big thing for Howard is they really came out of the gate poised. I think that was huge. The first quarter, you heard Nick Kepsel on the pregame show. He thought that the first quarter was huge for them. They settled into the ball game, and then in the second half, on that game, go-ahead bucket before the game tying, they gave it to Kepsel, Luke Kepsel there. He had the ball in the mid post and with his back to the basket. I think I called that out of the timeout.
You did.
And he lays it in with the left hand. But what is even more impressive for me is how they came out in the overtime period, because one of those things, it could go one of two ways. You can kind of lay down a little bit, oh, we were so close, or you can do what they did in the playoff or in the overtime period and just keep battling, and that's what they did. Congratulations to that Howard team. You mentioned it, just an absolute classic game, one of the best state championship games I've ever seen.
And we were talking off the air multiple times about DeSmet and what they had done in the three previous championship games. They didn't just come out and blow out teams in the first and second quarter. They just kind of, I don't want to say sleptwalk through those first two quarters, but it kind of feels like for Coach Gruenhagen, those first couple quarters are an information gathering session. Huh. It's like, okay, I see what they're doing. Now we're going to make our adjustments. Then we're just going to come out and then throttle you in the second half. And like we talked about, both head coaches on both sides made incredible adjustments. And I just felt like that matchup going in with Howard and DeSmet felt like this would be closer than the previous three, because the styles were very, very similar. You know, you take a look at Lower Brule and DeSmet. Lower Brule wants to go, go, go the last 2 years, and DeSmet wants to slow it down. And they just always had an answer for Lower Brule. This year, Howard had kind of that similar style to a certain degree, and that's, I think, one of the reasons why this was such an entertaining game. Last couple of years, DeSmet just throttled teams in the state championship games. And, you know, that's why I said, you know, Friday night a lot of times is more entertaining than Saturday night because DeSmet mucks it up for some of those championship matchups, and good on them for doing so. But an instant classic for sure. We got to take a quick commercial timeout. We'll take a look at some of the state A and AA action. Also drop in a couple of audio cuts from that state B championship game as well. All of that and more is coming up next right here on FM. We're back on this Monday installment of the Sports Hub, Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM, 98.5 FM, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well in studio at facebook.com/FoxSportsAberdeen. David Tewksbury alongside Matt McClure on this 18th day of the month of March. Couple audio cuts to drop in here from the state championship there, in particular from Saturday, and one of them was just maybe one of the craziest things that we've ever seen in terms of a finish to a high school game live in person. Of course, we've all seen great clips and stuff like that, you know, on Twitter and X and social media and all those sorts of things, but to be there live courtside for the shot that was just an absolutely incredible piece of A, execution, and B, maybe even luck, I don't know, but the fact that you had an incredible pass from Carlson finding George Jensen to tie things up. I wanted to drop in a couple of audio cuts here. Here's one of them. Here was that final play to send the game into overtime from Saturday night.
Carlson will trigger in baseline right. He's looking. Baseball pass comes up the sideline. It is in the air. Caught by Jensen for the tie. Banks it in. He banks it in from 13 feet out. It was all around the rim. It was down the cylinder. An unbelievable shot.
I was a little juiced up on that one, huh?
Just an amazing play. It really was an amazing play how they executed that with the baseball pass. And it just made it even more better that they were the three-time defending state champs, didn't it? Like, it wasn't just like, it was like, wow, this is how it's going to go down. This is the three-time defending state champs, and now they got a chance to make it four on that play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have a chance at overtime after that. That was the craziest thing about that.
You know, after that went in, I kind of thought to myself, they clearly have all the momentum. They're going to win this thing in overtime.
There's no way they lose. There was no way. I thought the same thing. I'm like, you can't make that shot and then lose almost. And they somehow, like I said, Howard just were very poised and cool, calm, and collective in that overtime period. But yeah, that was an amazing play.
Here's how it sounded as Howard raised the trophy.
Into the front court, pulls up from 24, round out, rebound Hinker, 6 seconds and five, time drains, and we have a new state champion in Class B. It is the Howard Tigers in overtime, 60-55. Can you imagine the moment? The Tigers have done it, and they have climbed the Class B mountain and undone DeSmet from the top of the summit. It's a final, 60-55, Howard, your new State B champions.
Pretty amazing moment there for those guys, and always kind of weird playing my own stuff there, but I will tell you, just a lot of fun being on the broadcast there with you this last weekend, and congratulations literally to all eight teams, because every single team out there, they left it all out there on the floor. Atmosphere was phenomenal. Everything about the Class B tournament was just perfect.
Yeah, it really was, and 11 of the 12 games were really, really, really good. I mean, the one game that was more than it seemed like double figures was that 74-54 White River Castlewood game, and even that game was close for a little bit. So, I mean, it just an amazing atmosphere. The crowds were just unreal. The games were great. You saw individual performers have amazing games. Just an incredible 3 days of basketball, and congratulations to Howard and every single team that was able to participate in those in the state tournament.
Don't mess with perfection. It's really what it comes down to.
Yes.
Don't screw with perfection.
Exactly right.
State A tournament, travel out west to Rapid City, 7th and 8th place matchup, Groton defeating Vermilion, 67-49. Lane Teets really having his best performance of the tournament. He went off for 25. Jacob Zach had 15. Keegan Tracy had 12. Groton loses to the eventual state champs, and we'll get to that here in just a second, but they finish in 7th place. They lost to the state champs by 1 point there on Thursday. They finish in 7th place, and Groton had a nice season. I certainly always talk about you want to win your final game of the regular season. They did that over Vermilion. Tanagers finished there in 8th place, but a nice year for Groton, and boy, they were just 2 points shy of playing there on Friday night rather than Friday afternoon.
They really were, and like you mentioned, they finished the season off strong after playing such a emotional type of game, very tight, low scoring against the eventual state champions. You know, they struggled in that second game a little bit, but bounced back against Vermilion and come away with an 18-point win. And Lane Teets, he's been doing it all year. Glad to see him have that 25-point performance there.
No doubt. Consolation Championship would go by the way of Sioux Valley over Pine Ridge, the 3 over the 4 seed, 69-51. Alex Squires with 21 points and 17 rebounds. Really good stat line there for him. Dakota Valley downs Rapid City Christian in the 3rd and 4th place matchup, 78-73. Luke Bruns had 19 points and 10 boards. Benson Kiefer in the loss had 29 points and 10 boards. And the State A championship would go to the Chargers of Hamlin. Back-to-back years where they win it, once on the girls' side last year, now this time on the guys' side. That's a pretty cool deal. Hamlin down Sioux Falls Christian. They end their winless season 53-50. Tyson Stevenson, not winless season, but undefeated season, as it were. Tyson Stevenson had 16 points in the victory. Easton Neuendorf had 12. Head coach Todd Neuendorf's crew, they down Sioux Falls Christian by 3.
Yeah, first time Hamlin's won the State A Boys Basketball Championship since 1983. So yeah. Hamlin with a just, you knew these two teams were going to play one more time. They played, this is the third time they played against each other. All three times have gone down to the wire. Sioux Falls Christian won the game at the buzzer. They played again. It was an 8-point game, and you knew Hamlin was just chomping at the bit to see Sioux Falls Christian again. And like you mentioned, Tukes, it was pretty difficult in that first game versus Groton. There's no guarantees you get to see him again. So they played Groton tough, won that one by one, and then they were able to just continue to move on. And you got to think they wanted to play that Sioux Falls Christian team again. And congratulations to head coach Neuendorf and that Chargers squad on another instant classic game between those two teams. They've been going back and forth all year.
Third time was indeed the proverbial charm for Hanson this time, Hamlin over, I should say, over Sioux Falls Christian. And in the AA ranks, the 7th and 8th place matchup would go to Huron, defeating Sioux Falls Roosevelt. Of course, that was the team that defeated Aberdeen Central in the SODAC 16, talking about Rosie. 63-58 as the Tigers defeat Sioux Falls Roosevelt there. Blake Elwine had 26 points in the victory for the Tigers. Consolation Championship goes to Jefferson, defeating Watertown 60-58. Third and fourth place matchup would go to Harrisburg, defeating Sioux Falls Washington 50-48. And then the state AA championship, Mitchell defeats Brandon Valley 46-45. We said on the air, I think even off the air as well, that state AA championship matchup is going to be an absolute dandy. Turned out to be, as every single game there in the state AA tournament was decided by either two possessions or fewer. You had 5 was the separation between Huron and Sioux Falls Roosevelt, 2 each from the Consolation Crown in third and fourth place matchup, then 1 point for the state AA championship. So a great, great tournament there at the Denny.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that Harrisburg game, Tukes, they actually won that game at the buzzer on a lob pass. Cam Phipps scored a layup there at the buzzer. But I was looking forward to that state AA matchup. Brandon Valley, one of the hottest teams in AA at the moment in time, versus Mitchell, that's been the best team in AA, and it lived up to the hype. And it was pretty low scoring, but Mitchell was just able to hold on there and win it by one. And congratulations to the Colonels. But AA basketball was great. That tournament was a lot of fun. Just looking at scores and what that was, you mentioned it, a lot of these games were very, very close. That was a really good AA tournament.
And like we talked about with Ryan Deal on Thursday there, that how it started, how it's going photo there with Coach Creutzfeldt there with Mitchell, a team that had a really, really tough time not that long ago. Now they're state champs. That's kind of a cool start and now finish.
Yeah, and it's funny too. Hamlin did that. I saw head coach Neuendorf.
Yep.
He said how it's – or what is it, too?
I think it's how it started and how it finished or how it's going.
Yeah, Neuendorf did that too. I thought that was pretty cool.
With his son. That was a photo with his son there. That which makes it even more interesting and very more kind of heartfelt, if that's the right word. So those are all the state championship finals there from this last weekend. Check out our Insurance Plus and Area Federal Credit Union tournament scoreboard on our website on HubCityRadio.com. We'll take a look at some northern notes as well as the NAIA National Tournament, Dakota State. They continue to dance, as well as another team in the NSAA. Of course, next year will be the last year of that, as Mayville State had a really good outing this last weekend on the women's side of things there. Talk about some guys' notes as well. Plus the NCAA D2 Central Regional. The fact that I got to hit the break. I want to go off on this thing, but we're actually need to hit this break. But the fact that Mankato is the only team representing the women from the NSIC
makes no sense.
It just makes no sense. What are we doing? I mean,
with the amount of good teams in the NSIC, only one? Come on.
Child, please. Back in a hot minute after this.
Conversation.
And doing it up with, of course, Matt McClure here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. And got that cut when I was just flying solo here for a couple months. So that's what's next, honestly.
Well, yeah, that's it. Football's coming up. That's the next thing we're gearing up for, right?
I mean, in terms of our live play-by-play coverage, yes. Obviously, baseball and Legion and all that good stuff still going on, high school track and field, and we're going to keep our eyes and ears to the ground on that, and we'll talk with coaches and all that good stuff. But with our live coverage, football is coming up here, so it's going to be an opportunity for us to maybe help our voices recover to a degree, right?
6 months, kind of to let our voices and, you know, to recover a little bit, and then we're back at it.
There you go. Looking forward to that. Looking forward to Northern State Baseball as they, of course, are in the mix. They took 3 out of 4 from Winona State here this last weekend. A really solid performance from Max Otto, going a complete game on Friday there, winning that contest 11-2. I did not write the final score there from the Winona perspective. It was 11-2 or 11-3. I got to double check exactly. But Max Otto going the complete game, striking out 7. Brennan Phillips, I'm telling you, he has been fired up by the Sports Hub, clearly. But 4 for 5, 3 runs scored and an RBI as Northern won 1 of 2 there on Friday. And then sweeping Winona State there on Saturday. Wolves putting up 21 runs and are out to the victory there, winning game 1, 9-5. And then 12-5 there for game 2. Michael Chevalier going 6 innings strong, striking out 4. And Drew Burkholder going 6 innings of good solid work, striking out 6. Carson Hester 3 for 4 with 3 runs scored and 2 RBI. That's a really solid weekend there for the Wolves, taking 3 out of 4 from Winona.
And I've been really impressed from an offensive perspective what they've been able to accomplish. You mentioned Phillips. Ever since he's come on the Sports Hub, even before he came on the Sports Hub, he's been hitting the ball lights out right now. Another 4 for 5 day in that series. I mean, I've been really impressed on what Northern's been able to do from that perspective, and they, you know, you're getting a couple really nice pitching performances as well. I think through this early part of this season, you got to be happy with where you're at.
I would agree with you for sure. Northern State softball got to be happy where they're at as well. They would go 2-2 over the weekend, falling to Bentley University 3-2. Abby Rux going the duration of that one, only surrendering 3 runs in 7 innings of work, struck out 4. Liv Richardson 2 for 4 with an RBI. Northern Downing St. Michael's College there 13-0. Mackenzie Wanner going 7 innings that complete game, striking out 3, only scattering 3 hits. Taylor Coleman 4 for 5 with 2 RBI in the victory. That was on Friday. And then on Saturday, falling to Shepherd University 6-2. Mackenzie Wanner going 4 1/3, surrendering 5 runs, 4 earned, striking out 1. And also the Wolves would pick up a 1-0 victory there over Wayne in 5 innings. Lexi Chase striking out 4. Avery Eagle going 2 for 2 with that lone run batted in. So the Wolves, I believe right now, got to double check, but 13-6, if memory serves correctly, to start up their season.
Yeah, and they get a really nice win there in that 1-0 game. Lexi Chase with a brilliant performance on the mound. Only took 1 run And that's what you want to see in Avery Eagle, the 2-for-2 and the RBI. But 13-6 there, too, because that's really good through 19 games. And Northern State, they're doing a little bit of everything, I feel like, from the softball perspective. You know, a couple games, they'll score a good amount of runs, or, you know, then there's a game like this where they don't get a lot of run support, but the pitching's brilliant. 13-6 is really good.
Don't want to shortchange them. 14-6.
14-6.
That 1-0 victory was their 14th. So good on them, and they will be back in action here as I pull up their schedule right in front of me. They'll be back in action down south in Sioux Falls, taking on Augustana as NSIC play officially begins for that squad there. NAIA National Tournament, you can check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for the full list of all of these games, because we're not going to have enough time to hit on them. But a couple of them of note, at least regionally, Dakota State defeating Science and Arts on the women's side of things, 86-69, your final score there. Savannah Walsdorf with 28 points and 9 rebounds. Angela Slattery had 19 there as well. Tabor Teal had 12 and 9. They advanced to the round of 16. Also, you had an abundance of GPAC teams, again, advanced to the round of 16. Check out our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details there. Also from the weekend, Northern State Wrestling, Seth Broussard and Devin Barr wrestled to 2 top 5 finishes from the NC2A Championships. Broussard placed 4th at 174, while Barr took 5th at 157. Broussard, again, who started up that season as a GA, finishes in the top 5 in the country. That's pretty neat, huh?
Yeah, that's just a really awesome story. We had Rocky Burkett talking about that. And how about he's really come on and had a great, great wrestling season.
NSU Track and Field, they competed out east at the Allen County Shamrock Invite there in Myrtle Beach. Men finished in 12th, the women in 19th. Visit our website for more details there. We're back at it tomorrow on the Sports Hub.